So far, we've approved 7 projects in the Pacific, about $250 million out of the $2.2 billion that have been approved. And funds are now starting to be dispersed. So the project in Tuvalu received its first instalment of funding, and we expect other funding to flow quickly into other countries as well in terms of those projects that are approved. So, yes, we've heard those comments and we're looking to address them.
Specifically, of course, Tuvalu said that they had to start work on their project using their own money because they were still waiting for money to come from the Green Climate Fund. So that will obviously be good news for them, and I guess an indication that things are improving.
Yes, and look, the reason for that was around the accredited master agreement that needs to be signed by the authority that's leading that project, so in this case the UNDP. Once that has been signed and the funding agreement, then the funding flows. So there's been 11 of those concluded recently. So as I say, we expect funds to flow much more quickly now.
Tell me about the nature of the dialogue that is going on and will be going on in Tonga this week. We talk about you wanting to hear about ambitious projects. I mean, how would you define that, or is it pretty much open-ended?
No, look, we've got 10 ministers here, led by the Deputy Prime Minister in Tonga, and we had a Pacific structured dialogue last year that ended up agreeing a Pacific roadmap, and that was one of the things that the board focused on in terms of approving projects within this region. So this is about updating that roadmap. It's about sharing lessons, so the collaboration between Pacific countries on their experience. It's in particular looking at how we can have more, as you said, ambitious projects. So, for example, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around energy and the opportunity to think about that in a more regional way to attract private sector investment. And of course, the Green Climate Fund is about taking more risk than other funds, and that's important in trying to attract private sector investment into the region.
Talking particularly of energy, and there is a push, I think it's fair to say, throughout the Pacific now towards renewables, but it's also been suggested that perhaps some of the countries are overreaching themselves, being a little overambitious in what they want to achieve. I mean, do you as a Green Climate Fund have to rein people in to some extent and say, well, hang on a minute, maybe you need to rethink this idea?
Look, what we do is, firstly, all of the projects are country-led, so we look at these projects consistent with the priorities that were agreed as part of the Paris Agreement, et cetera, with countries, and we then support them as much as we possibly can through preparing those projects and ensuring they're in accordance with the GCF investment criteria. That has a couple of aspects to it. One aspect is about building capacity within the region through our readiness program, and already 8 countries in the Pacific are accessing that readiness money. And also we have a private sector facility within the fund, which is about supporting countries to come forward with projects that meet their requirements. Now, the issue here is really making sure that the projects are both ambitious but also are appropriate to the countries. So the Green Climate Fund can use instruments of grants, concessional loans or equity and guarantees. So it has a number of instruments it can use to try and attract the private sector. And this is one area that we're having a lot of discussion and certainly did yesterday at the high-level meeting.
Would you anticipate that when the talks are over in the next few days that you'll be heading out of Nuku'alofa with something of a wish list to work through?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a wish list. I'd call it priorities from the Pacific countries in terms of the projects that they'd like to see implemented through the Green Climate Fund. And I think the discussion here has the opportunity of bringing together not only the ministers, but also the accredited entities that have to bring the projects forward to the Green Climate Fund. The executive director of the Green Climate Fund is here, as well as the private sector. So everyone is sort of in the same place in the room. We also have civil society here as well. So there's discussions going on about the viability of those projects and to get them ready for bankable projects, what sort of work will be required, and in some cases, of course, additional capacity to help develop that project in a way that it's going to be approved.